This weekend starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This weekend with your host, Gordon Deal.
The new economic worry. I'm Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Here's what's coming up this hour.
If the economy begins to weaken, many people won't be concerned with the stock market. The focus instead will be on the job market. Hear ways you can prepare.
Verizon, AT&T, and others will soon start rolling out 5G networks. Find out how it will change things for our current devices.
The most absurd college football bowl games based on things like length of name, quality of teams, and sponsor changes.
Santa Claus at the mall used to be a star attraction. Sure, kids still wait in long lines, but more Santas than ever have nothing to do.
Some malls have been struggling. Mall vacancies are at the highest they've been in about 7 years, and that is having an effect on mall traffic, and so Santa has more downtime than he used to.
Wall Street Journal reporter Jennifer Levitz on why you might catch Santa Claus reading a book at the mall. That report in about 10 minutes. Start things off on a serious note here. Men who are monsters are still coaching our kids. USA Today says at least 900 people have been sanctioned by a national governing body, or NGB, or by the National U.S. Center for Safe Sport. Those sanctions often allow criminal cases or an investigation, or often follow them, I should say. More than two-thirds are permanently forbidden to participate in the U.S. Olympic movement, yet no cohesive system warns parents when coaches have been banned. The USOC and its governing bodies rarely follow up to ensure that they are being kept away from young athletes. Investigative story by USA Today. Here's reporter Rachel Axon. Rachel, what have you uncovered?
Yeah, so people may not know, but several of the national governing bodies for each sport have, in some cases for many years, have a list of banned or suspended members. Often those are coaches or other people working with kids who have had some sort of sexual misconduct that either, you know, they were charged criminally or, you know, was reported to the NGB and investigated and found to be credible. There's also a database maintained by the U.S. Center for Safe Sport, which opened in 2017 to investigate exactly these types of cases. And we have been hearing anecdotally, you know, these guys get on this list and then, you know, it doesn't stop them. There's all sorts of ways to work around that. And so we spent, you know, a decent amount of time trying to look into, you know, we went through every NGB governing body list and tried to figure out, okay, where is this person now? Do we have any sign that they're coaching? Can we tell what they did to get themselves banned? Those sorts of things. And as we weeded through that, we found, you know, a smaller list of about five dozen that had potential, and then just started tracking them down. And, you know, we could have done this for a long, long time, but at some point decided to that we had some good things to show and really highlight what the problem is.
My goodness, what's the problem here? Why does it seem like hundreds of these guys like slip through the cracks and just turn up somewhere else?
Well, in a word, enforcement. So all the NGBs really can do is say, you know, you're not part of our club, right? They don't get to put somebody in prison. They don't have any more meaningful action that they can take. But what that means kind of varies depending on who's enforcing it here. So these guys, if they wanted to apply for a membership at their NGB, you know, it seems pretty clear across the board they would not get one. But no one checks to see, you know, are they still in clubs that are part of our organization? Are they being hired by people in our organization? Do we have meaningful consequences in place so that if someone does hire one of these guys, they might be deterred by those potential consequences? So the buck seems to stop with them once these guys get on the list, and then there's virtually no follow-up from there.
Wow. We're speaking with Rachel Axon, investigative reporter at USA Today. She's written an unbelievable piece entitled Banned from the Olympic Movement for Sexual Misconduct, These Men Are Still Coaching Kids. All right, so you opened the story with a guy named Gerald Murphy. Explain his deal.
So Gerald Murphy is a Taekwondo coach who in 1989 was arrested and later pled to lewd and lascivious conduct upon a child. He was found in bed with a 14-year-old girl who had been his babysitter. He was a elementary school teacher at the time. He lost his teaching certificate. After his plea, he ultimately went to prison when he did not meet the terms of his sentencing and continued coaching. USA Taekwondo, the organization of which he was a member, did not know about this until 2014. A former member of the board had the information relayed to her, and she passed it on, and they promptly banned him after finding out about this criminal background that he has. But then they did nothing else. He stayed at the same gym that he had had before. A few days after he was banned, that gym was transferred to his wife's name on the state business records. And when I went to his gym in August to talk to him, he said, you know, do I coach here? Yeah, I'm the teacher and the owner. And that gym, that school, was a member club, or as best we can tell, still is, although it's been removed from their website, of USA Taekwondo. So, you know, in the normal working of things, the owner of that gym would have seen he was banned and not hired him.
Yeah.
If the quote-unquote owner of that gym is his wife, that's a problem. But USA Taekwondo certainly could have looked and said, okay, well, this address is the same, right? The gym didn't move. So this was affiliated with a band member. Okay, maybe we should ask some questions here. And they did not. So for the past 4 years, he's been banned, but literally in the same spot.
Man, what do parents say who would, like, drop their kids off, you know, to get taught by this guy?
Yeah, they were. I talked to one when I was there, and she had no idea that there even was a banned list or that he was on it or why he was on it. Taekwondo, like many of the other NGBs, doesn't list why. It doesn't say, you know, has a conviction for this. It just is his name and the date he was banned. And she said, you know, that is concerning, and it would have been good for her to know when she was looking for a place to take her kids.
If it had been researched, would she have found his name?
Yes. Taekwondo okay. has a publicly available banned list. So if you go to the USA Taekwondo website, there is, you know, several dozen people on their list who have been sanctioned. And she could have, you know, at least said, is this you?
Okay.
Part of the problem, Taekwondo is just a list of names and a date for when that sanction was issued. It doesn't tell you, you know, what state that person is or was in, even the violation of which bylaw, you know, led to their ban.
Thanks, Rachel. Rachel Axon, USA Today investigative reporter. Every December, shopping malls bring in jolly, white-whiskered Santas to pose for photos with children, right? And the slowdown at many shopping malls means more downtime for Santa these days and for the photographers and elves staffing the operations. Here's this weekend's Jennifer Koshenka.
Just how slow is mall traffic these days? So slow that Santa has to bring a book to read. Jennifer Levitz of the Wall Street Journal joins us now for more on this holiday story. Jennifer, why is the mall picture-taking Santa so lonely this year?
Well, we know that some malls have been struggling. Mall vacancies are at the highest they've been in about 7 years, and that is having an effect on mall traffic, and so Santa has more downtime than he used to.
Is it happening everywhere or just certain malls?
Certain malls. There are malls that are in areas where there's not a lot of competition, or they're in really good areas where there's tons of shoppers, maybe malls that have lively stores and trendy stores and restaurants are still hopping. And Santas in those places are reporting that they're very busy and booked up, and people are talking about hours-long waits. So it is not everywhere. It's more of the malls that, you know, and everyone's been in them, the malls that are trying to figure out a path forward. They're losing anchors, and stores are coming in and out, and they're grappling with vacancies and how to reinvent themselves at a time when a lot of people are shopping online.
So Jennifer, how are these bored Santas filling their time?
Well, the Santas I talked with are really trying to stay Santa-like. That seemed to be a big theme. They're worried about looking bored. So, for instance, there's a Santa conservatory that trains Santas, and they said that they teach them the resting smile face. So you're not sitting there slumped over and slack-jawed, but you're always sort of looking happy. And they're doing a lot of waving. They wave at anyone, and even if the mall seems really empty, they'll just wave at somebody down the way, and they'll even wave at other employees just to stay in the mood. They'll talk a lot with the other staff. There's a lot of chatting with the elves and the photographers. Some of them are able to walk around a little around the mall. And then I did talk with one fan who said when it gets really, really slow, he will pull out a book. He's got a book. He was reading a Western. He had it in with the coloring books that he gives out to the kids. He'll take a quick break, but he said he's always looking out for a potential person that wants to come talk to him.
We're speaking with Jennifer Levitz of the Wall Street Journal. Your story, Jennifer, talks about the International Brotherhood of Real Bearded Santas. What the heck is that?
This is a big organization for professional Santas. They now go by the abbreviation because they want to be inclusive of Mrs. Claus. They meet, they have annual conventions, they have all kinds of gatherings of people who make a living doing this. I spoke with them about the future, the Santa business. They said that the Santa business is still doing really well, but it's changing. So a lot of, instead of doing mall gigs, some of Santas are getting into corporate parties, home parties. People are even doing video chats where the kids can chat with Santa by Skype. They're big single standalone stores that are still really busy with Santa. So you're seeing a shifting. They're trying to train those people, help them adapt to the changing mall landscape, and get into other fields. They kind of really refer to themselves as the Christmas community.
Jennifer, do they make more money if there are more people in line? Are they losing money by not seeing more picture-taking people?
The Santas I spoke with were being paid by the hour. I think they do have goals they try to hit. There's usually a company that is handling the Santa set and the photos, so they would make less money, and I suppose the Santas might be paid less. But I spoke with a Santa in Maine. He was making $20 an hour, and this was a seasonal job. He also works as a cashier, so he actually didn't mind the slow pace because, you know, he said that his other job, he had to stand all day, and so this was nice, and it wasn't as physically taxing.
Wall Street Journal reporter Jennifer Levitz with this weekend's Jennifer Koschenka. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Weekend. Glad you're with us. What will happen when 5G technology reaches a point where it's ubiquitous? It's not too early for the conversation. While 5G will get to critical mass in developed countries in the coming months, it will likely be 2020 or later when it's so common you can depend on it being every place you need to be. This last step is a critical one for folks to reconsider where apps run and begin to rethink what apps do. But tech analyst Rob Enderle of the Enderle Group says some argue that it will change dramatically what we consider a mobile platform to be. Rob, start with the basics. Explain 5G.
Typically, when we move between Gs, 2G, 3G, 4G, it was just bandwidth. You've got more data. 5G is different because it uses a very different technology. And what they focused on there was latency and performance at the edge, which means what makes this different is you can now plug into a wireless network and get performance very much like it would be if you were plugged into a wired network with incredibly low latency. I mean, gaming low latency. So if something is running on the cloud, if you've got an application running on the cloud, it would feel like it was running on your PC or smartphone. So you don't necessarily need to load an application on your PC or smartphone.
Wow. Explain the virtual reality telepresence and the mountain climber thing. That was fascinating.
Yeah, so you can basically see through the eyes of a mountain climber real time. As the mountain climber is going up, you can get a sense of everything they're going through at the time they're going through it. And as I say, it's incredibly low latency. So you'd actually get the sense of being there real time, and that could be any kind of a sports event or entertainer. If you wanted to see through their eyes and experience the event as they would experience it, it would be about as close as you could get, and you could do it real time.
Jeez. So would that mountain climber, for example, or entertainer be wearing goggles necessarily, or just some sort of glasses or
camera? Is a 3D VR camera, which they could mount much like they do right now with the GoPro on the top of their head. So you could look around. I mean, the thing is you're going up, regardless of where the mountain climber's facing, you get a 360 view of everything around them. So as they're climbing, you could see stuff that they aren't seeing. So your experience not only would be far safer because you're not climbing,
yeah,
it could actually be far richer because you're able to really kind of explore the space while the mountain climber is pretty much focused on that next handhold and that next lift.
Boy, I mean, as a sports fan, I could see this like on an NFL helmet, right? Just participating in a pro football game.
Exactly right. You want to see what the linebacker sees. They're more important probably because he's going to see more action. What the quarterback sees,
yeah,
and you can get the sense of, you know, holy crap! You look around and say, "Geez, he's about to get sacked." And the quarterback, you'd see some of the quarterbacks themselves wouldn't see.
Right. Especially 360, you'd be yelling, "Blindside, blindside!"
Blindside,
at your TV. Right. We're speaking with tech analyst Rob Enderle, principal and founder of the Enderle Group. He's written a fascinating piece about 5G. But where does it go from there?
Well, pretty much anywhere you want. I mean, if you think about it, if you can have any amount of performance that you need on any device that you have, as long as it's connected wirelessly on 5G, then your imagination is your limitation. The VR, AR, you can game from anywhere with anything. We mentioned telepresence with regard to the mountain climber. Well, how about just telepresence with just, you know, hanging out with your kids if you're traveling overseas? It's those kinds of things that now become viable, and because of low latency, a lot less annoying than what we've got right now. So that you get, you know, better bandwidth, better performance, higher visual acuity. And none of that hesitation and talk over that you typically get on a traditional phone or even a traditional digital line.
Thanks, Rob. It's tech analyst Rob Enderle, principal and founder of the technology advisory firm called the Enderle Group. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Weekend. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Coming up this half hour, the new economic worry. Also, how to stop apps from tracking you, and the most absurd college football bowl games. That story in about 20 minutes. Time for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Contact MichiganBusiness.org. Year-end holiday giving is make-or-break time for America's charitable sector. Donors who give now may feel compelled by the spirit of the season, but many of them also know that they can soon write off their gifts on their taxes and recoup a portion of their money. But the tax incentive affects fewer people this year, thanks to a provision in the new tax law. Nonetheless, American generosity appears to be a more powerful force than economic incentive. In fact, giving is on the rise. Here's Sean Zeller, deputy editor at Roll Call. Sean, what's up here?
Well, it's really interesting. The tax law, if you recall, that was enacted at the end of 2017, a year ago, increased the standard deduction. It roughly doubled it, which means that about 31 million households that used to itemize their taxes and deduct from their income anything they gave to charity will no longer find it beneficial to itemize. They'll take that standard deduction, and they'll have no tax incentive to give to charity. So charities were alarmed about this, and they thought that their giving would decrease. It made good sense. But what they didn't consider is that the tax law was also very beneficial for people at the top of the income scale who will continue to itemize their taxes. And so what has happened is, as a report has come out covering the first three quarters of 2018 by a fundraising professional group and a think tank here in Washington, the Urban Institute, and it's found that big donors are giving so much more this year that it's making up for a drop in small donations from people who are presumably losing the ability to itemize.
Wow. What are those numbers like, the small donors versus big donors, in terms of percentages lost or gained by charities?
It's a small reduction from small donors, which we define as people under $250, as well as mid-sized donors, people giving $250 to $1,000. And those are down about 4%, but it's made up for by a little increase in those big donors, people giving more than $1,000. And in fact, we're finding that as of the end of September, fundraising is a bit ahead of the pace that it set through the first three quarters of 2017. It's at about 60% of the 2017 total already. Now, of course, 60% through three quarters doesn't sound good, but most donating happens in this final quarter around the holidays. And so if holiday giving is as strong as it's always been in the past, this should be a blockbuster year for charities.
Wow. We're speaking with Sean Zeller, deputy editor at Roll Call. His piece is called Charities Feeling Flush Despite Tax Law Change. I guess the question becomes, can they sustain this momentum?
Yeah, I mean, the charities are still say they're worried because they're worried about now they're talking about civic engagement. If the number of overall donors is down, if you lose one big donor, it could be more devastating for a charity. And they also say that donating and volunteering often go hand in hand. So if fewer people are donating, they're worried that it will also lead to a reduction in the people giving their time.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Wow. Mm. The charity law deduction, or the charity deduction law that was proposed, right? It was Congressman Chris Smith from New Jersey, Henry Cuellar from Texas. What happens to that now?
Yeah, those congressmen concerned by what the charities said at the end of 2017, concerned that they would take a hit because of the tax law changes, proposed a law that would allow every American to deduct from their income at tax time anything they give to charity, making it an above-the-line deduction open to anyone. I think the case for that is not as good as it was. I mean, with charities getting more money in 2018, it's hard to argue that they're suffering in any way. And the Smith-Cuellar law would, you know, mean a big hit to the Treasury. It would mean a lot of people would be able to deduct more from their taxes, be paying less in taxes.
Thanks, Sean. Sean Zeller, deputy editor at Roll Call. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Weekend. Thanks for being with us. Will the economy weaken? The financial markets appear to think so. The stock and bond markets are suggesting that a recession could be in the offing. If the economy does indeed weaken, the big worry for many families won't be the stock market. Instead, the top concern for most Americans will be the job market. More on preparing for a job market downturn from personal finance expert Jonathan Clements at HumbleDollar.com. Jonathan, how do you see things?
So if you went back a year ago, we had a number of things going on. One, we had the stock market very richly valued. Two, we had very low bond yields. And three, we had just passed a new tax law. And under that new tax law, not only was the standard deduction much higher, but also itemized deductions were limited, in particular the deduction for state and local and property taxes. Put it all together, and it struck me that for 2018, the really smart move was to pay down debt. And, you know, what can I say? You know, you get lucky once in a while. It turned out to be pretty good advice. You know, this year we've seen bonds go down. We've seen stocks going down. So paying down debt would have been a really smart move in 2018. Looking ahead to 2019, I'm not nearly as concerned about the stock market, but thanks to the great improvement in earnings we've seen in 2019, 18, largely because of those tax cuts, earnings are much improved, which means the stock market valuations look much better than they did a year ago. So instead of worrying about the stock market, at this point, I'm worrying about the job market.
Okay, and your worries here are why?
So when you look at the financial markets, we've got stocks going down over the last couple of months. We've seen bond yields falling at the long end of the curve. Put those two together, and what the markets are telling us is that there is a risk of recession. Now, if there's a recession, it probably won't be good for stocks. But most people don't own stocks. Something like half of all Americans have no exposure to the stock market, but they have a lot of exposure to the job market. Yeah. If we get a recession and people are out of work, that's going to mean a big financial hit for the average American family. And that's why I say in this article, What you should be focusing on now is getting your finances in shape in case we do indeed get a recession.
Okay. How do we begin to do that?
Well, the obvious move is to build up an emergency fund, to have some cash on hand in case you end up out of work. We've all seen that Federal Reserve statistic that shows that half of all Americans couldn't come up with $400 to cover a financial emergency. That's a pretty horrifying state of affairs. But simply stockpiling cash in case you lose your job isn't the only thing that you should be doing. One of the other top priorities, and this makes sense no matter what happens to the job market, one of your other top priorities should be paying off credit card debt.
We're speaking with Jonathan Clements, personal finance expert, also editor and founder of HumbleDollar.com. And he's talking about getting yourself prepared in case there's a downturn in the job market. What about with regards to 401ks?
So here's a piece of advice that may sound a little odd, but if you think you're going to get laid off and you work for an employer that has a vested, has a matching contribution that vests immediately. In other words, if you put, you know, $100 in, maybe they may give you a matching contribution of $50, and that $50 goes into your account right away, you should actually keep funding your 401k even if you're worried about getting laid off. And the reason is this. If you get laid off and you have to dip into your 401k, yes, you'll have to pay income taxes and tax penalties on that money, but the matching contribution, if it vests immediately, will more than compensate for the tax penalties you end up paying. So if you think you're going to get laid off, but that matching contribution vests immediately, keep putting money in that 401k because it will work out better in the long run.
Thanks, Jonathan. Jonathan Clements at HumbleDollar.com. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Weekend. Thanks for being with us. The apps on your phone are tracking you when you go to places like the grocery store. Security experts have long expected various companies track users through apps, but recent investigations have shown how invasive these practices are. Recently, the New York Times purchased anonymized data from a third-party vendor, de-anonymized it, and used it to show how companies track people throughout their days. More from MarketWatch reporter Carrie Paul. Carrie, what do we have?
Right, so this is prompted by a couple of new reports from the New York Times and the Associated Press in the past year that have shown just how invasive some of these apps' location tracking is. We've long suspected that apps kind of keep an eye on where we're going, but this is kind of putting it in clear view just how much they know about us.
How so? Can you quantify that in some way?
Yeah, so a lot of data companies say that it's no big deal that they keep location data on people because it's anonymized. But what we know from a lot of different studies is that data can be easily de-anonymized with just a couple points. So if someone knows your first name or your last name or where you live, they can easily track down exactly who you are and what this data means.
Jeez. And the threat there is what? That someone could steal your identity, perhaps? Your critical personal information, like a bank account number?
Yeah, there's a number of threats. Obviously, there's just the creepiness factor that these companies know that you're going to a doctor's appointment for an hour and then going back to work. But obviously, if that information was to fall into the wrong hands, that could put you in danger, whether it's your bank account or just someone knowing what your habits are when you're home and when you're not home. That could put you in physical danger as well.
Jeez, right. What jumped out at me, too, in your story was that you said even sometimes when your apps are turned off in terms of location services, you're still being tracked somehow.
Yeah, it's difficult to see exactly which apps collect which data unless you're really closely reading the privacy policies, which obviously we suggest everyone do, but it is hard to do that when you have a lot of apps on your phone.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy. What can we do as consumers to better protect ourselves?
Obviously, there's the nuclear option of just deleting all your apps and throwing your phone away. just kidding. But some people have suggested deleting any apps that you don't necessarily need.
We're speaking with Carrie Paul, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Her piece is called Your Apps Are Tracking You. Here's How to Stop Them. What else do you recommend here?
Well, one security expert I spoke to said that it's really important to look at what the purpose of an app is. For example, if you have a paid service, like your banking service or something like that, which I'm not saying banks don't collect data on you because they certainly do, but if you have a paid service and your app is just an extension of that, it's probably less likely to be collecting and monetizing data on you. So just keep that in mind. You're probably better off using a paid app than one of the free apps.
Thanks, Carrie. MarketWatch reporter Carrie Paul. It is 6 minutes now in front of the hour on this weekend. It's college football bowl season. Seems nearly every team is invited to one these days. That's why 538.com put together a list of the most absurd bowl games using a math system that uses absurdity points based on criteria like the length of the name, bad teams, lack of defense, frequent sponsorship changes. Among the absurd of all time, by the way, the 2009 St. Petersburg Bowl presented by Beef O'Brady's, in which Rutgers beat Central Florida 45-24, even featured an obscure sponsor. Also on the list, next weekend's San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl featuring Northwestern versus Utah, with its third sponsor in 5 years. Even more absurd, according to 538, the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl with Marshall in South Florida this past Saturday. Length of the name, a factor there. Higher than that on the list, the Cherubundi Boca Raton Bowl from last Tuesday when UAB played Northern Illinois, an obscure local company, gave it some extra points. And most absurd, according to 538, the Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl with Toledo and Florida International. Name length, bad teams, changing sponsors, and on top of that, an obscure sponsor. All that from 538.com. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Weekend. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.